Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, Juicy Lemoners, before we start the show, we wanted to remind you to follow and subscribe to us on whichever podcasting app you're listening to. And as always, enjoy the show. What is it like coming out of the world's longest lockdown? This week on Lemon, Melbourne is now out of lockdown, but what are some advice we can share with the rest of the world? And how have Asians turned to podcasts during the pandemic? And later on the show, we have some exciting new recommendations to share with you this week. Each week, we dissect the conversation Asian millennials are having, so don't go anywhere because you're listening to Lemon.
Hello, and welcome to The Lemon Show. As always, my name is Philip Cooch.
And my name is Thomas Tan.
Thomas, now that we're coming out of lockdown, we can talk about going out to eat again. So my question for you this week is, what's your go-to dish for yum cha?
My go-to dish for yum cha would have to be chicken feet.
Oh, so Asian. I don't get it. What is so appetizing about chicken feet? Like, me even as an Asian, I just can't get into it.
I think it's just a certain way you have to eat it. So it's, you kind of deconstruct it. So you eat like the toes first and then eat the knuckles. And the juiciest bit is like the palm, if I can say, the palm of the
nails,
chicken.
The nails? The chicken nails?
No, eat that first. But what I love about chicken feet is that it just, even though it's a bit gross looking, it just tastes so good. Like, I don't know what flavor. They put some sort of black bean inside, but everything about chicken feet, I love.
Every non-Asian person is just vomiting right now.
But it's only like 80 calories per foot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What chicken feet? Is it because like it's so fleshy? Like it's a lot of skin? Is that what
I
makes it yummy?
I think so. But I've heard two things. My grandma used to tell me if you eat too much chicken feet as you get older, what happens is that your hands will start to shake. And then someone else told me if you eat a lot of chicken feet, you have good collagen. So, I mean, good skin and shaking. I mean,
either way, can't go bad. I guess my favorite dish would have to be, okay, it's called, growing up, my parents always called it the bird's nest. So it's like a really crunchy dish, and it has like, I think, taro in the middle.
Does
or something.
It looks like a football?
Yeah, it looks like a football. And yeah, it's just like, that is just so yum because it's like deep fried and just delicious.
But when you eat it, does it feel like it's the very flaky type?
It's so flaky. It's so messy to eat. But I have to say, with yum cha, I have this really bad habit, and it kind of came from when I was really young. With yum cha, I cannot eat yum cha with that sweet and sour sauce. So that's a fact that some people might find interesting because, yeah, like growing up, my parents, we always had sweet and sour sauce every time we went to yum cha. So even to this day, when I go to eat yum cha, if there's no sweet and sour sauce, I just can't enjoy it.
No, that explains a lot. That's why you have sauce with everything. Whereas for me, I like my food like really plain. Like, I want to taste the flavors. I want to taste the chef behind the food.
Like the flavors that were intended to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love sweet and sour sauce and love having sauce with everything. All right, on to some correspondence this week. Tom, everyone is really excited to hear about your Christmas song.
Are they?
When can we start playing it in our intros?
Well, it is coming out in exactly 6 days. So today's Halloween, so 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 6 days. My song will be out. Please stream it so I can have a bit of cash coming in.
I guess we got to start playing it and promoting on the show now. Like, it's going to be in every intro song, outro song. Yeah, it's going to be the next Mariah Carey or I Want for Christmas.
Gosh, I wish.
So last week we spoke about childhood traumas and about how our parents' words have affected us as adults. And we did get quite a few messages from all of you guys. And one of them was from a listener who said, childhood trauma has made me mentally ill. My mom was always an anxious person and would constantly use scare tactics to get me to behave. If you do this, you'll die. That kind of communication. As a result, I'm a 25-year-old crippled guy by anxiety and depression, but I'm working towards to address these problems that have plagued me for the rest of my life. I feel like if I was communicated with a more positive and reassuring language, I would have been better coping mechanism that was not destructive.
When I actually saw this correspondence, I could identify quite strongly because my mom is exactly like, she think the worst case scenario that she's going to die, right? So she'd be like, if you go out, Thomas, if you drive, you're going to die. So you have to be very careful. So I notice that I'm doing really paranoia habits. Like when I go lock the door, I lock the car door, for example, I'll press like the car lock button like at least 10 times to make sure it's locked. And then I walk away, take 10 steps, like, did I actually lock it? And I walk back to my car and like try to open my car door and then walk away. And I was like, but what if when I try to do that, I accidentally open my door? So it's all this paranoia that I have growing up because it's probably passed down by my mom. But to that correspondent, I hope things are okay. I hope you are.
Yeah, to this listener, I hope you're feeling okay. I think hopefully you're able to come to some kind of closure. But Tom, I do notice this about you as well. Like you're always very, very, maybe over the top careful with things.
Very
like,
careful.
Over the top. but I can also relate to this because my mom, she has like high blood pressure, diabetes, stuff like that. And she would always almost use that against me. Like if I was to do anything, she'd be like, don't do that. You're gonna get my high blood pressure up and I'm gonna die. And
but you do something and her high blood pressure is going
to
go up.
She'll just use it in any scenario just to get me to do things. She's like, she'll be like, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to have high blood pressure. I'm going to like, you know, die. Like when I came out to her, she was like, same thing. She's like, be straight or I'm going to get high blood pressure. I'm going to die. And I do definitely feel and understand that that pressure and anxiety from, you know, our parents. And I think that's why, you know, the thing that you spoke about last week, the rice experiment, I think that is such a testament to how our parents' words have effect on us as children.
And looking at the rice experiment, just a disclaimer, I did use wine cups, not proper cups. I'm not rich or anything, but I just didn't have any cups available.
And for anyone that's listening, you don't believe it actually happened. Like I was very skeptical as well, but you can test it at home by yourself. Like how can you test this? Do you use rice and water, right?
Cooked rice and just a cup of water and that's it. And one cup, tell it how shit it is for every day for 30 days. And the other cup, just give it so much love. And then mark my words, you'll see mold. Actually, I shouldn't spoil it, but you'll see something really cool happen.
Let's take a live look now outside.
Ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande licked and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone.
Catch me outside.
Rise and shine.
China. 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 China.
China. China. China. China.
After more than 6 months of lockdown, we're finally out of lockdown down here in Melbourne. We've been in lockdown since mid-March, I think it was.
Wow.
And then we've had maybe about one month and a half break in June where we came out of lockdown.
A month and a half? Yeah, it was like 2 weeks.
I think it was about a month. And we came out of lockdown for a while. And then we went back into strict lockdown in July again. And then we went to further stricter lockdowns in August. And just to give you an idea of like what kind of restrictions we were in, like we had to wear mandatory mask wearing whenever we left our house. We also had to be within 5 kilometers of our house at all times. Like you weren't allowed to leave past.
And only for essential items too.
Yeah. And only if you were leaving your house, it could only be for essential shopping, essential caregiving, or for school or for work. All events were cancelled. We had an 8 p.m. curfew, so you had to be home by 8 o'clock. All retail businesses and any business had to be shut down unless they were essential, like a supermarket or a pharmacy. Food businesses were able to open just for takeaway. But now, like, we had our first taste of freedom again after for so long. How are you feeling about this, Tom?
Actually, feels kind of good, as in... Not that I would go anywhere anyways, but even when I do get to have the opportunity to go out, it does feel a lot better. So I think yesterday was the first time that we both went out. We went to go have Korean barbecue, but thank God you booked in advance because everything's booked out.
Yeah.
But it felt like, I think you put it best when you tell me, it felt like we're on holidays.
It felt like, you know, when you go on holidays, right? You're like in a very calm state because, you know, you don't have to like... worry about anything because you're on holiday, like you have nothing to care about. And there's, yeah, like with the lockdowns like easing, there's some sense of like hope again, like there's the end to something, like, you know, I don't know really how to explain it. It's just like,
I think it's just nice. I mean, even though I am a massive introvert, it's actually nice to kind of see people's faces for the first time, or at least half their face, even if it's random. Like yesterday we bumped into your sister and we're eating in a restaurant and all I hear is, ew, Tom, feel. And then 30 minutes later, I bumped into my students back when I used to lecture at uni days, and just like seeing people who I normally do not would see on the streets, it just made me feel
better, I guess.
I think what makes it feel good, and it's good to see people out again, is that during lockdown, whenever you'd leave your house to go shopping for essential items like groceries and stuff, it felt very dystopian. Like it felt like we were in a war, like the world was ending. Like we had to wear a mask, everyone had to keep their distance. It just felt very gloomy and sad all the time. But now that we're out of lockdown, everyone just seems so much happier. Like everyone just seemed like at peace and like almost too comfortable. Like I feel like some people think that it's over now that we've reached, very low number of cases, people have kind of like complacent a bit.
I just hope that people we don't turn into another kind of fourth wave or fifth wave, that people do take this too seriously. Like you were telling me how people aren't even wearing masks anymore properly. It's like, it's just under their nose and it's not really. So I just hope that even though we are out of lockdown, that people are still responsible and they still wash their hands and they still take care of this and they do wear the right kind of mask as well.
So down here in Australia, we've kind of reached a place where we're at very low number of cases. I think we have like less than 10 cases a day. In Melbourne, we at our peak, we had 700 cases a day, which was more than anywhere in Australia. About 90% of all the cases that are in Australia came from our city. I think there was about 800 deaths in Melbourne. In total, Melbourne has had 20,000 cases since March. In the whole of Australia, we've only had 28,000 cases. So 20,000 of that 28,000 was from Melbourne. So that's kind of how bad it was down here in Melbourne. But look, the world is looking at us right now because we managed to get 700 cases a day down to zero cases for 2 days in a row this week. In France, they have 1.3 million cases so far since March.
Wow.
They have 37,000 deaths. In the UK, there's 500,000 cases, 10,000 cases. This is Germany. I mean, in the US, there's 9 million cases and 229,000 deaths. So lots of places around the world are going into their second lockdown after summer now, and they kind of like muddled their restrictions off us now. So I feel like we're in a really good position to share with for our listeners who are living overseas and are going to the second lockdown, what it was like living during the lockdown and what it was like coming out of lockdown. So I want to start off with you, Tom. What are some things you noticed during lockdown, with your own mental health or just in general? Like, what have you noticed about yourself?
So what I've noticed about myself during lockdown is one of the negative sides of being stuck indoors is that it's a bit sometimes hard to see what the future might bring. And it does feel, because we're all quite egotistical, it does feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in this by myself. But if you actually take a look at everybody's doing this, like we're all kind of doing this together. It's not just one person suffering inside a house. It's everyone suffering inside a house. And I guess for me, one thing that really helped me getting through lockdown is having a routine. So I've noticed that if I, like, you know when like you sleep right, let's say you sleep at 11 p.m. and then suddenly becomes 12 p.m. and it just gets later and later and suddenly you're up at like 5 o'clock, you haven't even slept yet. But actually having a routine is actually so much better, beneficial for your mental health. Like at least getting up at least for me now, I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, make sure I'm in bed by 11 p.m. and that just gives me a bit more sense of purpose.
I think, having a routine is really, really important because when you're at home, everything just kind of blends into one. Like there's no sense of clear distinction between work and school and your personal life. So I think having a routine just really helps make that clear distinction so that you can have some sense of normalcy. Talking about routine though, one of the things I found helpful was making my bed every morning seemed like a really good thing to practice each morning because it kind of like, gave me that routine feeling. I'd try and plan like exercising in the afternoon, which are normally when I'd normally do it, and trying to keep everything the same every single day. I feel like that helped me so, so much.
People underestimate how much exercise can actually boost you. Like even going outside for a little bit of vitamin D or a bit of sun, even like 30 minutes a day. I don't know what research is going to be, but if you Google it, there's going to be some research out there, the benefits of vitamin D, but it actually helps so much, even for your immune system as well. When I was feeling a little bit sick, going out to the sun, it just makes me feel so much rejuvenated. I do have a friend who they don't really have the best sleeping schedule and you can just feel like they're not in the best place. So really do go and have a routine and get some sun every single day.
And one thing I think is good to point out is that I feel like during lockdown, socializing was so tiring. I felt so tired of trying to keep up with all of my friends because, like, Zoom calls are fun during the first lockdown, like Zoom parties and stuff. They were fun the first time. But the second time around, it was just so tiring. Like, I just hated it. I don't think I did many of the Zoom chats in the second lockdown. I just couldn't be bothered.
Like, what can you catch up like? Like, how's everything been going in the last 2 months? Like, nothing. I've just been being at home, right? So, yeah, I do understand that. And I think maybe spice things up with your friends. I don't know. Like, have movie nights instead of doing Zoom, do games. Like, Among Us is so big right now. Play some games, watch some movies, do something with your friends that you can never do when you are out of this lockdown situation.
And also check on your vulnerable friends. I feel like we all know someone who might be more heavily affected than others. And I feel like it's really important to check on those friends to make sure that they're okay. Oh, and one thing I noticed during lockdown was you're going to realize that some friends may not agree with you on political things. Like down here in Melbourne, I think we spoke about it last week as well, but a lot of people had different opinions on how this our second wave should have been handled. Some people thought that, you know, lockdown shouldn't have happened. But look, it's clear lockdown has worked. We've got cases down to zero.
Weren't we at the same with like UK at one point when we had 700K? They were like 702. And now suddenly they climbed to like 15, 16,000 and we're at zero.
A day as well. 16,000 cases a day. That's just insane.
Like, that could have been us. One more thing before we finish up is do something like it. If, because this is just like once in a century, do something that you wouldn't ever have the opportunity to do, even if you're outside of lockdown. Like, dye your hair, do something a bit weird or abstract. If you're fearing that people are going to judge you for it, just do it.
Well, we'd love to know what you guys think. For those of you who are in Australia or in Melbourne, how were you affected by lockdown? And what are some tips that you can give to the rest of the world who are entering into a second lockdown? Head onto our Facebook page or Instagram page and let us know what you think. There'll be more Lemon coming up, but first, here's a few words from today's sponsors. So in the spirit of coming out of lockdown and talking about lockdown, we recently did an interview with the South Morning China Post, and we talked about how Asian Australians were, you know, turning to podcasts during lockdown and learning about what it means to be Asian Australian. And I thought this would be a really good topic to talk about because I feel like this year was a really pivotal moment for a lot of us who are Asian and are like, you know, want to learn about our own identities for the first time because we're seeing it being, you know, seeing how we're being treated by the media and by the president of America. And Tom, I'd like to start off because you went there on the day we did the interview. I kind of answered the questions for you. Mm-hmm. So I think now's a good time to, you know, get your public statement about this. But Tom, I want to know for you, how have, you know, from a podcaster perspective, how has doing podcasting helped you learn about what it means to be Asian Australian?
I think first of all, I didn't realize how much power we would have doing, not that we're powerful or anything like that, but I just didn't realize how much influence we do have on other people. So when I'm struggling with whatever I'm struggling with, being Asian, living with a single mom, trying to get through things through life with all this information that I have, and then just talking about it on the podcast, I didn't realize how much impact it will have on a lot of other people who do listen to us.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not big by any means, but you know, we're so grateful that, you know, so many, like, thousands of you guys listen to us, and you know, for most of the time we're just talking about our own experiences, and we just feel so grateful that so many people can relate to us, and we get so many messages about from everyone just saying that, you know, they're so glad to hear that this topic is being spoken about because they're not going to hear it anywhere else. Tom, my next question for you is, why do you think so many people are turning to podcasts to listen during the pandemic, and why Asian podcasts in particular?
There's a lot more Asian people listening to Asian podcasts because they're definitely, like, we've already said this many times, but the lack of representation, the lack of stories that we do hear, all the media that we do have is pretty much nearly white, or people on TV, people on the radio, people on everywhere are probably white. So people, I guess, sometimes get a bit hungry for diversity.
You know, it was really funny. I didn't tell you this, but during the interview, shout out to Joseph Lamb, who wrote this amazing piece, by the way. He asked me, he was like, a lot of podcasters he's interviewed said that podcast was a white people thing. And I was like, that's kind of true. Like, it kind of is. Like, not many Asian people do podcasting, or many listen to Asian podcasts. And I feel like this year particularly has been a pivotal moment for Asian podcasters around the world, because, the world is more divided than ever now. And we saw that, you know, ourselves as well. Like, during this year when we started talking about the pandemic in March, and how people were attacking Asian people for being Asian for no reason, that was when really we saw so many Asian people tune into our show, because they wanted to feel connected, especially during a pandemic where we all feel so alone. Having people in your ears every week, you feel like you have some friends.
It's so weird whenever my friend's like, oh my God, I listened to your podcast this week. It feels like you were actually right there next to me. I'm like, oh, okay. It just feels so strange.
I know, especially now that we're catching up with all our friends that are like quoting us.
Yes.
And we're like, wait, when did we have this discussion?
I didn't tell you this. I think I just forget the things that I do say sometimes on the podcast. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I do hope that whatever we are doing on the podcast, on this Lemon Show, it does bring some sort of benefit or positive, or it lifts someone in one way or another.
But yeah, I'll link this article in our show notes so you can read it. We're also going to make some recommendations later this week on our Instagram on some of the best Asian podcasts that we listen to. There's so many great ones, but we're going to make a list of our favorites. So we'll post it on our Instagram page later this week. Well, yeah, as always, thank you guys for listening to us, and hopefully there'll be more Lemon for many years to come.
Welcome to recommendation time. So this week, Phil, what can you recommend for us?
I have a really weird, not fetish, but an interest right now into cults. There's something about cults I'm really obsessed with at the moment. First of all, I'm really into watching MLM or multi-level marketing videos on YouTube. but I don't want to recommend that yet, because I want to save...
Are you recommend the MLM or the people who are reviewing
it? The people reviewing it. So... I'll keep this discussion for next week, because I want to do a segment next week about how I got conned into an MLM when I was 18, which was endorsed by Donald Trump. But I want to save that for a bigger discussion next week. So I won't recommend that. But this week I want to recommend a TV show called Seduce. And this is another show about cults. And it's about the Nixium cult. So I actually don't know much about it yet. And I don't really know the full story. I've only watched two episodes of it, because it comes out each week. And so there's two more episodes to come. But I think most people know that Nixium was like a cult with this guy as a leader, and he turned them to sex slaves and sold them off into like sex ring scandals and stuff like that. I don't know the full story yet, because I didn't know about this cult and this story until I started watching this documentary.
So they're actually selling people, not a product.
They say it's disguised as like a wellness program. So people join it, they think that they're getting some self-help program. But what they don't know is that they're getting primed, they're getting brainwashed to become slaves and a sex slave. And slowly he starts coaching them, saying to them that, especially to the woman, right? He'll be like, you know, guys were born to be naturally polyamorous, and that girls were born to be... to worship guys and like to serve men, and then these girls and women would, you know, ascend higher and higher up the ranks, right? And then
wait, is this the show Wellness?
I don't know if it's... Is there another show called Wellness?
It's another show called Wellness, but it's not called Seduce. It's exactly the one I watched on Netflix too. But
it might be based on this cult.
Is he like living in an island?
I'm not 100% sure. Like, look, I don't know much about the story because I'm still watching it, and I didn't know about it previously, but it is a real story. It is real, obviously. The guy was sentenced, his name's Keith. He was sentenced to, I think, 125 years in jail just last week.
Oh my goodness.
A ton of celebrities were in there. So a ton of celebrities were into the cult. One of them was this Smallville actress. I don't know her name.
The one who's half Asian.
I don't know her name. Her name is Alice or something like that. So her name is Allison Mack. So she was in Smallville. So she's like, that's what she's known for. So she joined the cult and she became like a leader in the cult. And she's now convicted as well. And she's like pending a trial as well.
Whoa. So she actually groomed these young women too.
She was part of it. Yeah. And it's just... amazing. Like when you're watching this, you just like, you know, how could people fall for this cult? But it's like a gradual thing. Like they gradually like, you know, not trick you, but like, yeah, kind of exactly. They trick you and they brainwash you into falling for these cults. Mm. And that's why I'm so obsessed with MLMs as well, because MLMs are similar to cults. Like as someone who's been in an MLM, you know, at the meeting, it's very cultish. So that's why I have this fascination about cults at the moment. So it's called Seduce. It's on, if you're in Australia, it's on Stan. I think it's a HBO series, or it's, yeah, on HBO, I think. So if you're living overseas, you can check on HBO. But yeah, I'm just obsessed with that at the moment. But look, yeah, I'll have my coming out story about my MLM next week. I haven't spoken about this for 8 years since I've joined.
I didn't realize that you were almost part of an MLM. I think my mom almost, I'll tell you that story too, but I didn't realize how
so many people are so part many. Of it. Yeah. I have so many friends from high school who are still a part of it. And look, I'm not going to say too much, but I just cringe at the idea that I joined this MLM. But I was young. I was like 18 out of high school at that time. Mm. But look, let's save it for next week. I won't say too much. I want to save it for next week's segment. But yeah, if you're into cults and you want to, you know, read more or watch more about this, it's called Seduced.
Into it, not in it.
No, yeah. Into it. No, don't get into it. But yeah, I'll drop the name and in the show notes so you can check it out. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. As always, if you love the show, then go and leave us a very nice review. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you know, go into the app that you're listening to now and hit the follow button, subscribe button, so that you can find more lemon juice in your feed each week. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.